getting back to the best picture, let's talk about those films. So let's start with F1.
All right.
What was your, that was the only of the one of the 10 which I didn't see because I don't want to see a movie about race cars. And even the title is so simplistic and stupid. It would be like, let's go see the movie called Soccer.
Exactly.
Like they call the movie F1.
Exactly.
How stupid is that? But tell me, what did you think of it?
Well, this is the only movie in the Oscar nominations to make top 10 of highest grossing films of 2025. It was the 9th most popular film last year at box office. But everybody I know, including myself, just thought it was an exhausting, boring cliche of a race movie.
By race movie, you mean race
car. A car movie. Okay. Sorry, right. I think this might be the Oscars' way of acknowledging a film that the actual general public might be familiar with.
Maybe. So how the next one in... this isn't alphabetical order, this is just the order we did it in. So Begonia, I quite liked. It was fun and weird, but it's not my favorite of all the Yorgos Lanthimos movies. And it's interesting, it was actually based on a Korean movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's an adaptation of a Korean movie, or a Korean book, maybe. So that adds a bit of a twist. He normally like either writes his own or works in conjunction with a scriptwriter, but this one was adapted from an existing one.
I loved it, and it weirdly is very relevant. Like a week ago, Pizzagate was in the headlines of the news again, and this movie like really brings up issues like conspiracy and the internet and doing your own research. Yeah, it hit a nerve, and it's also totally original.
Okay, let's talk about Frankenstein. I really, really liked it. It was long, but it was an entirely different take on the Frankenstein story than from anyone I've ever seen before. Like, what other movie? Well, some Frankenstein movie, and they're suddenly in the frozen far north on a ship caught on an iceberg or on snow. And it's also the most sympathetic portrait of a Frankenstein, of the monster, of any of the Frankenstein movies I've seen before. It wasn't like green face, flathead, bolt coming
exactly.
out of the thing.
Exactly.
He was almost like a...
Downton Abbey clothing.
Yes, and he was like almost Victorian. A sexy Frankenstein monster, as opposed to, you know, it's played by Elordi.
Right.
And lengthen the scene where he sees the hermit in the woods scene. That's like in many of the other Frankensteins, but this was the most one that explored it. He's a blind man. So I thought that was very, you know, I thought it was very good. I liked it a lot. And it's Benicio del Toro's, well, I think he's been trying to make that film all his life, a gothic horror movie.
It's actually Guillermo del Toro.
What did I say?
Benicio.
Guillermo. Oh boy, is that bad. So, any thoughts on Frankenstein?
It wasn't one of his best films. I'm just proud of him as a Torontonian, and it's great to see.
It was all shot in Toronto studios. Yeah.
That North Pole ice scene was right on the harbor there.
Yeah. What'd you think of One Battle?
Loved it. I think we talked about this, but that car scene was like eclipses anything from F1, you know.
Oh my god, no, the scene, the chase scene where they're going up and down the hill in the car, that was the cinematography of that is absolutely fantastic. I agree.
It was shot on film.
So it has got a lot of negative press by the sort of the cartoonist stereotypical portrayal of black revolutionaries. I think it's like influenced by Black Panther Party from the 60s, but it's supposed to take place in the 90s or 2000s, right? I think in the 90s or present day.
I thought it was present day.
Present day, yeah. But it starts 20 years earlier before the kid is born.
Sure.
So that's
sure.
the 90s, yes. I guess, or the early 20s. So it's sort of, I think Pynchon's book took place in the 70s and the 90s. This one is the 90s and the 2021s, right?
But also, like, it just hits a nerve with all the protests we've seen in the last few months and issues of immigration. And, you know, obviously he didn't plan it to be that topical, but it really has turned out to be.
Totally. And beautiful performances by all the players.
Yeah.
So how about Hamnet? I've talked about that already, but do you have anything additional to say on that one?
Just super beautiful. It's like a painting, a giant Renaissance painting.
And have you seen The Secret Agent yet?
I haven't. That's the one film out of the 10 I haven't seen.
So what was the movie that won 2 years ago or last year is We're Still Here or I'm Still Here? We're Still Here. It's set during the same period of the right-wing military junta ruling Brazil. For me, this is the same version, but light. It's not, it's way more like explicit violent, but less serious. It's more, not cartoonish, but it's more action thriller. And it is quite bloody than the one that last year, which was a total tearjerker, deeply, deeply moving picture. This one, but this one is great. This is a wonderful movie.
Nice.
What do you think of Marty Supreme?
It was super entertaining, but he's kind of a jerk.
And who is?
Marty Supreme. It's like this American...
The character or the director?
Self, actually, both, but no. Marty Supreme is just... He uses his obsession as an excuse to be a bit of a jerk. And it feels like I'm an American, I'm the best, rah, rah, me. Like, I just, as a Canadian, I didn't love that aspect.
Oh, okay. I mean, I don't think his characters was supposed to be completely sympathetic. Like, same as Adam Sandler's in Uncut Gems and his movie before that as well.
Right.
Like, they're always sort of mixed anti-heroes. But I just thought the supporting cast is phenomenal. Like, In Uncut Gems, there's a supporting cast too, but aside from one or two characters, they mainly just walk on and read their lines. This one, every single person is fantastic. I just saw all the...
I mean, Gwyneth Paltrow was fantastic.
Gwyneth Paltrow and, I don't have my notes in front of me. What's the name of his girlfriend?
Odessa Azian.
Odessa Azian. Again, but even like his friend, his uncle, his mother... It was just a really, really
and
great
cast.
And
I hate to say it, but Kevin O'Leary did a good job. As well.
I watched that whole movie thinking, that guy's doing a really good imitation of that asshole, Kevin O'Leary's. And it wasn't until the credits came up at the end and said, oh my God, it actually is.
Yeah,
him.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so Sinners.
Sinners was super original. And it had this probably this my single most favorite sequence in all the films of the year, which was at the Juke Joint Barn. They merge all these generations of music and genres into one seamless dance sequence. So they have, and it's from the past and the present. So just it's as if the different musical genres are speaking to each other. It goes from rock and roll to rap to geishas to DJs to indigenous tribal music all in one shot. And it just left me breathless.
Oh, this is when they're sort of going through time and going through, yes, that was quite. The whole movie, its use of culture, both black culture and folk culture, and I just think it was so well crafted and so good. Both the characters and the acting and all of that together, it was really good. The it's not a drawback, but it's the one I saw the longest time ago. This is a spring movie. So it's about a year old. I haven't rewatched anything. I generally just go by my original memories. So it doesn't have the... But I remember at the time really, really adoring the movie.
Yeah. Michael Jordan plays one character. I mean, sorry, he has a dual role. One guy's a Smoke and the other guy's Stack.
Right.
But it made me think of, has anyone actually won a best Oscar for... doing a dual role. And I did a quick Google and all I could see was like Eddie Murphy's done a Google double role and like...
He didn't win an Oscar for
no,
that.
No, no, no. I'm just saying like Lindsay Lohan, like there's not... The time is right for someone to get an Oscar for playing the same part twice.
Maybe, but like I said, Moira in the Brazilian movie also plays multiple roles.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And to the point where I didn't recognize him. I didn't know it was the same actor until afterwards. Sentimental value?
Well, it won at Cannes the Grand Prix prize last year, so it's had, it's been almost a year of buzz about that film, so that's why I think it could do
well. I think it's a fantastic movie, but I saw it back in August, but I really, really, really liked it. But as I said, it's not as, he often has very emotionally wrought movies. This one was much more surfacey, you know, very clever, but not deeply moving. And I think it's a satire, a political and social satire, making fun of Americans, making fun of Swedes. It's a Norwegian movie, and you know, the Skarsgård is Swedish.
Right.
So he speaks, either he speaks Norwegian with a Swedish accent, or he just speaks Swedish. I don't really know. I don't speak the language, but I think it's digging at him a bit for that. And then of course, the American actress.
Elle Fanning?
Yeah, Elle Fanning. I think it's a total parody of American celebrity culture.
Well, it's also a film about a film director trying to make a film.
Yes.
And that often is, film critics, you know, enjoy that, or it could be Oscar baited as well.
I think it's, but I don't think it's Oscar baity because it's, it makes fun of it.
Right.
And the lead actress is really fantastic, but she plays, the lead actress plays a lead actress.
Right.
Who plays herself sort of in the movie. And the, it, it's so meta, the whole thing. I think it's a brilliant movie. But it, it didn't affect me as deeply as a lot of his other movies have. But I like Joaquin Trier. He's one of my favorite directors. Can I just say Train Dreams is a piece of shit. I can't imagine how that got nominated. It is such an annoying, pandering, pointless, stupid movie. I saw it on the big screen. A lot of people who watched it on Netflix, on TV, they said, oh, it was good, it was pretty. But I think because when you watch something on TV, you don't really pay attention.
Right.
I think if they'd seen it on big screen, they would notice how,
or if they paid cash for it.
Yeah, how awful.
I have no idea how it made it into that group of 10.
It has beautiful cinematography.
Yeah.
But I think they, it is the poster child for the word pandering.
Right.
Ugh. So those are the movies.
Yeah, I absolutely think One Battle After Another should win, and I'd be okay if Hamnet won.
Interesting. I think Sinners or Battle is going to win. And so in a guessing game, I'll say Sinners. But who should win? I think Marty Supreme should win.
Yeah, it definitely, as an American fable, it could win. The thing with Sinners is, when was the last time a vampire movie made it into the Best Picture?
No. Never.
Yeah, so.
Yeah. No, but I think it will win.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks so much for talking with me, Jeff. And get ready for the Oscars in about 8 days.
All right.